Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله أشهد أن لا إله إلا أشهد أن محمد رسول الله أشهد أن محمد رسول الصلاة هيا على الصلاة هيا
صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين. إنما يعمر مساجد الله من آمن بالله واليوم الآخر وقام الصلاة وآت الزكاة ولم يخش إلا الله فعسى أولئك أن يكونوا من المهتدين.
ترجمہ ہے اس آیت کا کہ اللہ کی مساجد تو وہی بات کرتا ہے جو اللہ پر ایمان
لائے. حضرت states that the translation of this verse is he alone can keep the mosques of Allah in a good and flourishing condition who believes in Allah and the last day and observes prayer and pays the zakat and fears none but Allah. So these it is who may be among those who reach the goal. Today, with the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat has been enabled to build its mosque in this province of Canada called British Columbia. Although some of the families amongst you may have been living here for 40 or even over 50 years, yet there is a considerable number of you who have been living here for 25 or 30 years. But you have only now been enabled to build a mosque. Although there was an established center, there was a hall and mission house which existed, and it was perhaps for this reason that there was negligible attention given towards building a mosque. Although to some extent, in terms of tarbiyat, the moral training, and in terms of the members of the Jamaat gathering together in one place, the need was fulfilled. However, the mosque has its own importance and significance. The minaret, the dome, and the actual building of the mosque has its own distinctive impression and impact upon the members of the Jamaat, upon the surroundings, and also upon the non-Muslims. It enables new avenues of introducing Islam to open, and new contacts for tabligh, for preaching, are formed. It was for this reason that the promised Messiah alayhi salam drew significant attention towards the building of mosques. For where on the one hand it would establish the unity and identity of the members of the Jamaat, there it would also widen the scope for preaching. The promised Messiah, on whom be peace, may indeed have stated that even if the mosque is humble and simple, it is still important and necessary that a mosque is built. So perhaps some people may think in their minds that why do we build such large mosques? For now, there is a demand from certain chapters or jamaats of the community who need to build mosques. Due to their having inadequate resources, funds are administered to them from the center. Thus, one could presume that were smaller mosques built, more mosques from that same amount of money could be constructed. However, if we keep a foundational principle in view, then perhaps this question would not arise. And that foundational principle is innamal amalu binniyat. The reward of any action is based on the intention behind it. Vancouver is the biggest city of British Columbia. And I believe that the largest number of Ahmadis live here in this province. In terms of your numbers, this is not a large mosque. Further, through the grace of the Almighty Allah, He is opening new avenues of tabligh, which demands from us that our spaces should be expansive. Then the expansion of our spaces also becomes necessary through this revelation of the promised Messiah alayhi salam, through which Allah the Almighty stated to him, Vasse makanaka, that expand your house. The expansion of the household is not only to accommodate further guests in the home. It is also not only as a result of the Jalsa Salana and to accommodate more guests for that. In fact, this revelation also relates to the necessity to expand the mosques. The expansion of mosques falls under this category. Then, in this age, Allah the Almighty has addressed the promised Messiah as Ibrahim. It was through Hadrat Ibrahim, that is Abraham, peace be upon him, that the Khana Kaaba was built. The first house of Allah the Almighty was rebuilt upon those same foundations to establish the oneness of Allah, the Tawheed. And in accordance with the promises of Allah the Almighty, it is through the promised Messiah alayhi salam, on whom be peace, that the world will come to know and is learning, and there is no doubt in this whatsoever, that the rejuvenation of Islam took place through his hands. Spiritually, the objectives of the Khana Kaaba in this age will be fulfilled through the promised Messiah on whom be peace alone. The world will come to know this. Mosques which are built to fulfill those very objectives, that people should gather together for the worship of the one God. In this sense, we need to give heed towards building mosques. As I said, therefore, the actual matter is accordance with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam's guidance is that intention through which any task is undertaken, and our intention is to establish the Tawheed, the oneness of Allah. It is to convey the message of God. It is to bring the maximum and greatest numbers of persons under the flag of the oneness of Allah. It is to bring about a spiritual revolution in our own state and the state of our future generations. And whilst bringing about this spiritual revolution, it is to make us and our progenies into those who bow before the one God. It is to try our level best to observe and establish the prayer. It is to fill the mosques for this purpose in such a manner that the mosques start appearing small in terms of their capacity. So thus, when the intention is such, then mosques which seem apparently large will not be built for mere pretense or show. Rather, they will be mosques that are the means of acquiring the pleasure of God. Inshallah, it is my firm belief that you who live in this area, who will fill and populate this mosque, if you become those who discharge the rites of this mosque with this intention. Then where? You will become those who spread the message of Islam and Ahmadiyyat, where you will progress and enhance in your spirituality. Where you will attach your progenies with the one God and facilitate and cater for the life in this world and in the hereafter. There also you will acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and witness the heavy rainfall of His blessings falling down upon you, inshallah. When the heavy rainfall of Allah's blessings descends, when the intention is only and only to acquire the pleasure of God, so then Allah the Almighty enables for many mosques to be built in each and every city. So thus now your intention should be as such, that we will not wait 30 or 40 years to construct the next mosque. In fact, like this mosque and like many similar mosques, we should make it become too small to accommodate. We need to fill and populate the mosques and discharge the rites of the worship to God. By doing so, we should lead our lives in accordance with His commands. And thus we need to make the lessening space in the mosque a means of increasing the scope of the blessings and grace of Allah the Almighty upon us. We need to make it a means of increasing continuously the blessings of God. So thus, if today we are inaugurating this mosque with this intention, then certainly we'll be making an effort to make up the weakness of not making a purpose-built mosque during this time. Further, with the construction of this mosque, by giving attention to building a mosque in those areas of the country where there is currently not a mosque, that would also be the recompense for not building a mosque during this long period. Always remember, as I stated, that a mosque holds a distinctive significance and importance. Centers and halls cannot attain that stature, that is, of a mosque. Most certainly through centers and halls, the Jamaat acquires a place where they can gather together. However, there is a spiritual attachment that is connected to the name of a mosque, and which also evokes emotions, and this cannot come into being without a proper mosque. This is part of human nature. So thus, wherever land has now been purchased, instead of making just a center or a hall, make proper mosques. I came to know of a Jamaat in Canada who have in possession some land. Through the money which they have, they desired to build a hall. However, gratitude be to Allah the Almighty that when their opinion was sought again, the majority of them have further inclination towards building a mosque. May Allah the Almighty enable all those Jamaats to build a mosque wherever there are currently plans to construct one. Most certainly, after the construction of a mosque, new avenues of preaching will and do open. Last month, I inaugurated the mosque in Valencia. This was in fact at the end of March. According to the reports that are now emerging, where on the one hand, the non-Muslims are becoming interested towards it, and they are learning about Islam. There, on the other hand, non-Ahmadi Muslims are also coming to that mosque to offer their prayers. They are becoming acquainted with the Jamaat. Inshallah, God willing, Allah the Almighty will enable people from amongst them the ability to enter into Ahmadiyyat, the true Islam. Amongst the responsibilities entrusted by Allah to the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, was also to enlighten the Muslims with regards to the true teachings of Islam. It is to unite them upon that Islam which the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought. It is to put into practice that law that was revealed to the Holy Prophet. Allah the Almighty said to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam through revelation that unite all Muslims on the face of the earth on the one true faith. Explaining this, the Promised Messiah on whom be peace states, this point that to unite all Muslims on the face of the earth upon the one faith is a very special point. Then the Promised Messiah, alayhi salatu wasalam, citing the example of Hazrat Abraham, peace be upon him, said that just as Allah the Almighty had commanded the fire to become cool and a means of security, bardun wasalama, and this exactly came to pass. The Promised Messiah, alayhi salam, stated that this point in my revelation is also of a similar type. Allah the Almighty desires that all Muslims living on the face of the earth should be gathered together on the one true faith. And this indeed shall come to pass. This certainly does not infer that there will be no differences whatsoever between any of them. Differences will remain. However, they will be such that they will be unworthy of mention or criticisms. So thus, for all, for Muslims and non-Muslims alike, the only means and path of guidance now is the Promised Messiah on whom be peace alone. There are hundreds of thousands of Muslims who live in this country and in this city. Certainly, this mosque will also capture their attention. Through the construction of this mosque, there will be both positive and negative mention from the Muslims and non-Muslims alike. As a result of this discussion with respect to the mosque, new avenues of preaching will open upon you. You will also have to prepare yourself for this. So thus, through the construction of this mosque, one responsibility after another will be entrusted upon you. It is evident that for Tabligh, once you ready yourselves, where on the one hand you will prepare yourselves through acquiring knowledge, there on the other hand, you will strive to elevate your standards to the highest levels. This should be done. Otherwise, as a result of a disparity between what you practice and what you preach, no one will even come near to you. Thus, through the construction of a mosque, where on the one hand, personal doors of blessings open for you, which enhance a believer's faith continuously. There, on the other hand, the blessings as a Jamaat descend in such a manner that bewilders a person. Allah the Almighty has mentioned this with reference to mosques in various places of the Holy Quran. To establish the regard and respect of mosques has also been cited. The objectives of a mosque have also been expounded. The qualities and characteristics of those who populate the mosques have also been explained. At the present time, the verse of the Holy Quran which I recited refers to those who fill and populate mosques. The first point mentioned is that those who fill or populate the mosques are those who believe in Allah. To merely say that we believe in Allah is insufficient. Allah the Almighty has established certain standards for this belief. Allah the Almighty states, if you establish these standards of the faith, it is only then that you will become a complete believer. Otherwise, your faith would be incomplete. For example, in the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty states, قَالَتِ الْأَرَابُ آمَنَّا, that the Arabs of the desert say, we believe. In other words, those who apparently are deprived of education or are lowly, and as a result of which they did not progress in learning about the true teachings of Islam and in their connection with God. So thus Allah the Almighty says in response that do not say that we believe. Allah says, Kullam tu'minu walakin qulu aslamna. In other words, Allah said to the Holy Prophet, say to them, you have not believed yet, but rather say, we have accepted Islam outwardly, which could be for any reason. So thus, after professing the Muslim creed, the kalima, enhancement of the faith, increase in connection with Allah, further attention towards worship of God, to be prepared to give every sacrifice and to actually give that sacrifice for the sake of Allah, to implement the commands of Allah, are the actual qualities which should be in a believer after accepting Islam, which should be found in an Ahmadi after accepting the Imam of the time. In other words, a mu'min, a believer, should witness a new glory and splendor in his spiritual enhancement, and this should be felt within the person. The promised Messiah, alayhi salam, says in this regard, mu'mins, that is believers, are those people whose actions bear witness to their faith. Their faith is inscribed and written on their hearts. They make acquiring the pleasure of Allah the Almighty priority over everything else. They adopt the fine and minute paths of taqwa, of righteousness for His sake. They become totally consumed in His love. And every idol that becomes an obstacle in the way of coming to God, whether it is moral lapse, or negligence, or slackness or weakness, they remove themselves far from these. So thus these are the standards that we must adopt. When we adopt these standards, it is only then that we can call ourselves those who truly believe in Allah. This definition that the promised Messiah, alayhi salam, has made, that they are those who adopt the fine paths of taqwa for the sake of Allah the Almighty. He has defined the fine paths of taqwa as a path where the rights due to God are discharged and the rights due to His creation. It is to subject every limb and part of one's body to the commands of Allah the Almighty, while you prevent every limb and part of your body from committing any vice. There, you would also have to purify your thoughts from every impurity. It is only then that your focus will remain upon Allah during worship and prayer. It is only then that your prayers will become established and you will truly observe them. If the focus of your thoughts is only upon the world and its delights, then during your prayers your attention will not remain. A person would apparently be praying, however, his thoughts would be lingering elsewhere. Then the promised Messiah, on whom be peace, stated that to remain totally consumed in Allah the Almighty is a true mu'min, a believer. The Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has described the quality of a believer, that his heart remains embedded in the mosque from one prayer to the next. He remains an anxious wait that when the time for the next prayer arrives, I should go to the mosque. Now worldly tasks are also necessary for a person, and the promised Messiah alayhi salam has clarified exactly this, that one who does not fully discharge the rights of the responsibilities and tasks placed upon him will be held to account, whether that relates to business, whether that relates to labor or even farming, or anything, whatever it may be. However, even whilst performing these worldly tasks, one should remember God. When one remembers Allah the Almighty during these tasks, when one realizes that even these worldly tasks are being performed by me due to the command of Allah the Almighty, then he will endeavor to fulfill those tasks honestly and with trustworthiness. and he will strive to not take any undue or inappropriate benefit from it. Then, even his worldly job and business will become a matter of faith for him. For the remembrance of God and the pleasure of God will always remain in his view. The Sahaba, the companions, have left behind lofty examples for us. They were not left behind merely to listen to and enjoy, temporarily, nor were they set by them for us to praise. Those companions have no need for our praise, because Allah the Almighty has already praised them when He granted them the accolade of being well pleased with them. Thus, when Allah the Almighty is pleased with someone, that someone stands in no need for any person to praise him. Indeed, these examples tell us that if we follow their examples, keeping in view the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and discharge all our worldly jobs and duties, then Allah the Almighty will also place you amongst those who walk on the path who have acquired His pleasure. The promised Messiah on whom be peace states, if you want to achieve the standards of faith, then also elevate your morals. Elevating the level of your morals can be realized through discharging the rights due to mankind. As such, to only offer the prayers and then to consider that you have fulfilled the rights due to God does not bring one near to God nor bring him faith. In fact, one also has to discharge the rights due to the society. That is also extremely necessary for one who claims to have faith and to believe. Then, the promised Messiah in whom be peace states that save yourself from a state of slackness and laziness. For this also causes one to become distant from Allah the Almighty. Often, whenever I ask those who do not regularly offer the five daily prayers, then this is what they respond, that it is as a result of laziness and negligence. So thus, laziness also makes one negligent of the love of God. This negligence then slowly but gradually removes one from the religion. Fear of the hereafter, fear of the world to come, and fear of being held to account by Allah the Almighty also eventually ceases to exist. Thus, Allah the Almighty has explained one of the signs of those who fill the mosques as they who have belief in the world to come, that the rewards of the actions performed in this world will be received in the hereafter. Those worships that are performed purely for the sake of acquiring the pleasure of Allah, and having faith and belief in Allah in this life, will make them counted amongst those who are truly guided and make them inheritors of paradise. Then those who fill and populate the mosques, where on the one hand are regular in their prayers, come to the mosque five times a day and fulfill its due, there they are also those who offer financial sacrifices. For the sake of acquiring the pleasure of Allah, they make financial sacrifice. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the Ahmadiyya Muslim Jamaat, in terms of this aspect, make extraordinary financial sacrifice. There is at least one segment who make extraordinary financial sacrifices. Even in the construction of this mosque, there are some members who have given up to hundreds of thousands of dollars. Even some non-Ahmadi Muslims give great contributions towards the building of mosques. However, the distinctive characteristic of an Ahmadi is that they make regular contributions of chanda, and then they also participate in special financial schemes. In this respect, their sacrifices hold great importance, in particular in today's materialistic age and economic circumstances. May Allah the Almighty infuse great blessings in those persons and also in their money. However, you should remember that only one action does not enable you to achieve that standard of taqwa, nor through only performing one action does the faith become complete. Rather, for a believer, it is necessary to discharge both the rights due to Allah and the rights due to mankind. The Holy Quran has also mentioned the characteristics of those who believe in other places. I shall mention a few of these, because it is only by adopting these that one can be deemed to be such who is truly guided, and one can truly discharge the rites of a mosque. It says, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدُّهُمْ بَنِلَّهِ, that those who are mu'min, those who are believers, love Allah most of all. The promised Messiah on whom be peace states, the highest form of love is worship. This is why the word muhabbat or love is specific to God. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, there are two parts of worship. One where man fears God, and he fears God in the way that is due to him. The fear of God should take him towards the fountain of purity. His soul melts and flows towards the divine, and the true color of servitude develops within him. So thus first there is fear, that through the fear of Allah the Almighty, the heart melts, and he prostrates before God, and he strives to fulfill the rites of worship to God and become a true abid, a true worshipper. Then the promised Messiah alayhi salam states, the second part of worship is that man should love God as is due to him. This is why it is said, وَالَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَشَدَّهُمْ بَلِلَّهِ, so that realizing that all worldly loves are temporary and transient, and thus one declares God to be the true object of one's love. These are the two rites that Allah the Almighty enjoins man with respect to himself. For the discharge of both these obligations that man owes to God for his worship, although every worship has its own color, yet Islam has set two different types of worship. Fear and love are two aspects where it seems that they are impossible to have together. How can a person who fears someone also love him? But the fear of God and his love have a totally separate characteristic. The degree to which man progresses in his fear of God, to that same degree his love for God also increases. Similarly, the degree to which he advances in his love for God, to that same degree he shall increase in his fear of God, which will encompass him and lead him to harboring disdain and hatred for vice and evil and take him towards purity. So thus this is the state which is necessary for a believer to acquire. The promised Messiah then explains these loves further, that for fear there is prayer, and for the expression of love there is the pilgrimage of Hajj. This is a long topic in itself. In any case, this is the station which is necessary for a mu'min, for a believer to develop. Fear of Allah the Almighty should become a means of acquiring the love of God. When this station is achieved, then a man becomes a true abid, worshipper, and becomes one who truly discharges the rite of the mosque. This is that station which the promised Messiah alayhi salam desired to inculcate within every one of his followers. Thus, alongside this construction of the mosque, there is a need for us to take a self-assessment. To what extent are we fulfilling the rites of worship to Allah? To what degree are we fulfilling our claim of loving God? To what extent are we discharging the rights that are due to one another? For the right of worship cannot be discharged without taqwa, and taqwa cannot be achieved without acting upon all of the commands of God. For our reformation, Allah the Almighty has enjoined countless commands in the Holy Quran. We have been commanded to act upon those commands. It's only then that a man can become truly guided. Before mentioning some of these commands, I will mention just a few. I should explain that in the verse which I recited earlier, Allah the Almighty has stated, فَعَسَىٰ أُولَٰئِكَ أَن يَكُونُوا مِنَ الْمُهْتَدِينَ. So these it is who may be among those who reach the goal. This does not mean that if they act in this manner, they may be counted amongst those who are truly guided. That if they act with good intentions, they may be those who achieve their goal. According to linguists, when asa is used with reference to Allah the Almighty, then those who have firm faith in all respects, who participate in zakat and financial sacrifices to acquire the pleasure of Allah the Almighty, those who fear Allah the Almighty alone and fear no worldly object, they are certainly in the sight of Allah the Almighty, truly guided. They're coming in the mosque, they're offering their prayers, and they're acting upon the commands of Allah the Almighty, goes on enhancing their taqwa and their faith. Their standard of taqwa goes on increasing. So thus fortunate are those amongst us who in the sight of Allah the Almighty have become those who have reached their goal or are truly guided and are becoming closer and nearer to God. I shall also mention a few of the responsibilities that Allah the Almighty has entrusted upon us, or those matters which Allah the Almighty has commanded us with respect to. Allah the Almighty states, كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنهون عن المنكر. That you are the best people raised for the good of mankind. You enjoin what is good and forbid evil and believe in Allah. Thus in this verse, the qualities of a true Muslim have been described. He is one who forbids evil and enjoins good. This cannot be undertaken until man practices exactly what he preaches. If our actions contradict what we say and what we claim, then our words will have no effect upon even our own people, let alone having any effect upon those who are not of us. With the construction of this mosque, as I stated, new avenues of preaching will open. However, if our actions are not in accordance with what Allah the Almighty has enjoined, we will neither be the khairi ummah, the best people, nor will we have belief and faith in Allah, nor will our prayers be of any worth, nor will our financial sacrifices be accepted in the sight of God, nor will our claim be true that we hold the fear of God, thus to mold ourselves in accordance with the commands of Allah the Almighty is our foremost and most important obligation. One of the commands of Allah the Almighty is وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا. وَقُولُوا لِلنَّاسِ حُسْنًا, that speak to the people with kindness. We should first of all demonstrate this amongst one another. The office holders in particular need to give heed to this. Before carrying out preaching, we have to first fill our mosque with such righteous worshippers who, for the sake of Allah the Almighty, are those who fulfill the right of the worship to God. Sometimes complaints are received that certain office holders have such attitudes, or some who consider themselves to be at such a high standard of righteousness talk to others in a manner that causes them emotional hurt, and thus this drives them away from the Jamaat. Such people then, instead of helping to fill or populate the mosques, become a means of making them abandoned. As has always happened in the past, with the construction of a mosque, new opportunities for preaching open. Here also, inshallah, such avenues will open. Amongst those who come to see or visit the mosque, amongst your circle of friends, in your surroundings, establish this impression. That is when these people come, and go on strengthening that impression, that every endeavor of an Ahmadi is for the benefit and good of others. This is the impression from an Ahmadi that should be established in the world. This is the teaching of the Holy Quran and Islam, that rather than look at our own benefit, we think about benefiting others. Not only do we think of benefiting others, but we are demonstrating it practically. With the construction of this mosque, people will witness this demonstration and expression further. Through the grace of the Almighty Allah, Allah is opening up avenues of preaching. Sometimes such astounding contacts are formed which cannot have been formed through our own efforts. Here also, you will witness such contacts develop. So thus, through your words and deeds, enamor these contacts to you and win them over. As I stated, there should be increasing love and affection in your mutual relations for the sake of acquiring the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. Special attention needs to be given towards this. This is also essential for preaching. This is also essential for the strengthening of the Jamaat. It is also necessary to acquire the pleasure of Allah. May Allah the Almighty enable that with the building of this mosque, internally the Jamaat strengthens, becomes those who act upon the commands of Allah the Almighty, becomes those who fill and populate the mosques, and that every one of your hearts remains firmly attached to the mosques as the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam expected of a mu'min, of a believer. May this mosque accumulate the rahmaniyat of Allah the Almighty, and may this manifest upon every person who enters into the mosque. May new avenues of preaching go on opening with the construction of this mosque. Perhaps the people who are aware of it here locally may not be all that interested, but the people around the world are interested in this, and I shall present this for them. The announcement of this mosque was made in 1997 by Hazrat Khalifatul Masih Rabi, and he named it Masjid Baitur Rahman. It is approximately 3.75 acres of land, and the covered area is 33,419 square feet. It has two floors, and the dome is 47 feet high. The minaret is 76 feet high. At present, both the men and women's halls are combined. The capacity for this combined area is 6,800 square feet. 1,132 people can offer their prayers within this. There is ample parking space which can accommodate 140 cars. There is a multi-purpose hall also, where 1,050 people can offer their prayers. In the mosque, 1,132 people can offer their prayers. So thus more than 2,000 people can offer their prayers. There is also a library. There is a tabligh center, a kitchen, a funeral, home service area, four classrooms, offices, a boardroom, a missionary's residence, and a guest house. There is also extremely beautiful calligraphy done here outside on the mosque. I have mentioned the salient features. The total expense on this, including some additional costs that became necessary, stands at $8.5 million. May Allah the Almighty make this mosque blessed in every respect for you. At the end, I shall read out a short excerpt of the writings of the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, who states, "The true beauty of the mosque is not in its outward building. Rather, it is in the worshippers who offer their prayers with sincerity. Without such people, these mosques are abandoned. The mosque of the Holy Prophet ﷺ was small, and its roof was made of date palm branches, and water would leak onto its floor when it would rain. But the mosque is graced through its worshippers. In the time of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, the worldly people built a mosque, which was felled by God. The name of the mosque was Masjid Zarar. The mosque was completely brought down. The commandment with regard to mosque is that they should be built with taqwa. Thus, every Ahmadi needs to keep this in mind." Then he states, "The Jamaat should have its own mosque, in which there should be an Imam of our own Jamaat, who should give religious lectures, and the members of the Jamaat should all gather together to offer their prayers in this mosque. There is great blessing in unity and accord, and much confusion arises out of disunity. And this is a time when unity and accord should be greatly emphasized and promoted. Trivial differences should be overlooked which cause discord and unity. May Allah the Almighty enable us to mold our lives in accordance with this."
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر